Hey guys.
Hey.
What?
I'm still thinking about your I'm still thinking about your ad tab. Yes, this is 2 weeks later and I'm still
she's still on it.
Ad tab.
She just is not a fan. Hey, I'm Jordan, one of your historical storytellers. That's Lainey.
I'm Lainey.
The other historical.
The other one with the more annoying voice. That's me.
And likes to criticize.
Hey,
tablets.
You know what?
It's okay. I agree.
It writes itself, honestly, though. I don't even really have to do anything. Yeah. The jokes are there. I have never bullied a tablet before, but I'm over here. I bully this tablet hard fucking core.
I bully this tablet so hard. I wish it was never born.
I wish it was never made. Amazon, stop. You shouldn't get into the tablet business. It looks like a decent tablet, though. I mean, honestly.
It has a no glare.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Besides your ads.
And
you're going to get like a Subway ad on it. I'm waiting for it. Like $5 foot long ads.
Didn't they find out like their chicken son actually made a chicken?
Excuse me, what?
Yeah. I think their chicken's not really made of chicken.
What is it made out of then?
Something that's kind of close to chicken, but not chicken.
What is close to chicken that's not chicken?
I'm not the expert here. I just saw it on the articles, on the news cycles. Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
I don't like Subway anyway. This is now a Subway trashing article. Okay. All Subways smell the same.
They do.
And it doesn't smell like food.
Now I'm trying to think back. I can't recreate smells in my head. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I can. And Subway does not smell good. They all smell the same. Their cookies are not even good. Jersey Mike's has some.
I love Jersey Mike's.
Oh, dude, we eat Jersey Mike's 1 to 2 times a week. Oh, I fuck with
so
Jersey
good.
Mike's so hard.
Oh, I so, love it.
Jersey Mike's, if you want to sponsor us.
Hey, you want to give us some sandwiches?
Dude, Ricky. Okay. Ricky's school always has like coupons for Jersey Mike's.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. And so it's always like buy one, get one free.
I stack those up.
Dude, and they're always like take one, and Ricky just goes and he just like
take six.
Well, so so the first time he didn't know that he was only supposed to take one. He was like, "Oh my god, I took more than one." And then so now he's like, "Whatever," because no one else takes them. So they'll just like no one else takes them for some reason. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
They haven't enjoyed those sandwiches.
I guess not. And so he took them all. And so just all the time, it's like, well, we can eat Jersey Mike's because we only have to pay for one sub. My dude sold. And then he has all those points. So you always get like free subs and shit. But what's unfortunate is that my fan favorite is not on the menu anymore.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
So he has to like... And I don't know my order. And so he has to order for me. Yeah. So, because it's like, it used to be the California Philly.
Okay.
Because it's chicken mm-hmm. and like mayo and lettuce and tomato and everything like that. Mm. Instead of like a normal Philly, which is like usually beef and cheese.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. I think there's cheese in mine, but it's not as like mushroomy and oniony.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, welcome to our Jersey Mike's podcast.
I'm wearing a Jersey Mike shirt right now.
I am Jersey Mike.
So today's topic I'm pretty excited about. As a fan of true crime podcasts, I'm a huge fan of the podcast Crime Junkie.
Okay. My friend, I think, listens to True Crime Junkie, right?
It's just Crime Junkie.
Oh, just Crime Junkie?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it the guy and the girl or is it the two girls?
Two girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. She made me listen to it when she was helping me redo my kitchen. Thank you, Emily. Thank you.
So I love Ashley Flowers. I love the stuff she does. And so on one of her segments, she does these kind of weird stories called The Mysterious Deaths.
Okay.
And it's all about
Are you stealing her idea, Jordan?
No, this is a Valentine's.
So we're gonna get sued.
No, this is a love card to her.
Okay.
Because she definitely has inspired our shows.
An homage.
Yeah.
To
Crime Junkie. And because, you know, it was definitely one of the inspirations that kind of got me started talking about doing horror history. So the topic of the week is the mysterious death of Mozart.
I didn't know that he had a mysterious death.
I didn't either.
It was Beethoven was the deaf one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then I know next to nothing about Mozart.
Kind of the same. I listened, but I didn't really have...
I'm sure I obviously will recognize some pieces of his.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes. As a lot of you guys are listening, you've obviously heard Mozart. You just kind of heard him in passing, talking about,
He's like a classical music icon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you told me to name three classical music icons, I'd be like Beethoven, Mozart, and Chopin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chopin. I think it's Chopin.
Chopin?
I think that's how you pronounce it. Ooh. Chopin.
Yeah, they're literal icons. Like, it is insane how much they influence. And just kind of doing this research, it was fun to kind of know about what, like, who Mozart was.
Yeah, gives you a better appreciation.
So Mozart was born in Salzburg on January 27th.
Where's Salzburg?
It's like in the Holy Romania Empire.
Okay.
Yeah. I forget they were an empire for a very long time and like didn't recently collapse, but they did like not so long ago collapse. He was born in 1756. Did you think Mozart was older?
Yes. Okay. So you said 1756?
Is when he's born.
Okay. Is when he's born. So Alexander Hamilton was around like 1780s. As an adult. So I guess, he is a little bit older than like Alexander Hamilton and all those friends, but
he definitely lived during the revolution.
He was like alive during when they were alive, probably, right?
Yeah. What if they?
That's weird.
Isn't
they
it
just
weird?
Like been bopping out to like Mozart? Have you heard the new Mozart symphony?
That probably happened.
That's so crazy.
Isn't it? It's cool.
Well, actually, how would they have gotten the Mozart music if he was in Romania?
Well, so...
They didn't have records back then.
They didn't. It would just be probably transferred by copies of composition pieces.
Oh, you're... Okay, yeah, yeah. And they would just perform... Obviously, he's a songwriter, basically. Okay.
That yeah. makes sense.
They would play Mozart. They wouldn't hear Mozart, but they would...
Play Mozart.
Mozart's stuff.
It's like if Miley Cyrus like wrote a song like Party in the USA and then like handed the music out to people and
so it's like a cover.
Yeah.
It's a cover. Thank you for coming to our podcast where Jordan explains how music works. If you do not know, I am a bottle blonde and I'm also Polish. And no. They don't call me a dumb Polak for nothing.
No. And you know what? Speaking of Miley Cyrus, Mozart is totally like the 1700s version of a Disney Channel kid. Yeah.
So he was very sheltered and forced to do things?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Also, pause. Miley Cyrus's new album is fire.
Isn't it? So good.
Have you listened to it?
Yes.
So good.
So good.
So good.
Love the take on
all
it.
All the songs. Bops. Angels Like You. Bops. Hate Me. Bops. Golden G-String. Fucking bop. Plastic Hearts. Bop.
I love Plastic Hearts.
The only one I don't like is the Prisoner with Dua Lipa.
Oh, Prisoner.
Dua Lipa?
Yeah, she can do better.
Okay. This is a Dua Lipa podcast now. So when this is a little side story for you guys. When Colleen and I went to Boston, mm-hmm. we had to get these Ubers, okay? Mm-hmm. So we Ubered everywhere. And literally the first Uber that we took to Salem, all he played was Dua Lipa.
Oh my God, he's a fangirl.
He had a fucking Dua Lipa, like, CD or he downloaded the Dua Lipa. Because at first we're like, okay, one song. It was like a popular song that we knew. So we're like, okay, it's radio. And then another Dua Lipa song came on. And then another Dua Lipa song came on. Legit, we listened to like 12 fucking Dua Lipa songs.
That's like an album.
Dude, it was. And so, and then Colleen and I didn't say anything to each other. And then we get out and she's like, if I have to fucking listen to one more Dua Lipa song. I was like, oh my God, right? Like only fucking Dua Lipa. And then the next Uber driver, Dua Lipa. Dude, in Boston, in the whole Massachusetts area,
they're about her.
Eat up Dua Lipa for some reason. And I do not understand. And then just everywhere that we went, all we did was hear Dua Lipa songs. And so not every time there's a Dua Lipa song, I just send it to Colleen. I'm just like, she's haunting me. I can't get rid of her.
I can get over that they're also albums. Just let me play through the whole album.
She's just like, I mean, I think she can sing and I think she's talented and everything. I don't hate Dua Lipa. She's just not my kind of music. It's very like club boppy. Like,
I love her music. I didn't I like her recent album compared to her previous album.
She is not, it's like.
She's getting there.
Wait, you know that there's some artist where you know their songs only through radio, but you're like, I'm never going to download this person's album.
Yeah.
She's that. She's that never going to listen to a Dua Lipa album. I get that. I'm never going to download her music.
Yeah.
I'm never going to have, the only Dua Lipa song I have is the one with Miley Cyrus. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like out of all the songs on the album, they chose that song to be the single.
Oh yeah.
Why? Like literally so many more songs on that album are amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But Classic Hearts is so good. I was kind of like.
Midnight Sky was popular too. Yeah. But. Really?
Yeah.
The Dua Lipa one? I don't know. It was just very, like, clubby. Yeah. I don't know. But
so, like, Mozart, yeah. So he's like a Disney kid.
He's the Dua Lipa. He's the classical Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Okay, no. He's like a Disney Channel star. Got it.
Because so when he's, like, a young, like, a, you know, in his childhood, probably at, like, 3 or 4, is picking up an interest in music. And someone who was overhearing Mozart just kind of diddling on the piano made a comment to his dad that he was the greatest composer.
At three. Doesn't know how to wipe his ass, but you know what? He can shred on the piano.
So his dad heard this and heard dollar signs. Just heard the ring, 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 like cha-ching. So he packed up his younger sister and Mozart.
Wait, what's Mozart's first name?
Wolfgang.
Wolfgang. The other one's Ludwig, right?
Yeah.
Ludwig Beethoven. Okay. Wolfgang. Okay.
Yeah. So they go and they travel and he starts working kind of at the age of 5. He starts making these side shows. He would travel all throughout Europe and his dad would kind of like hook up these gigs where he would play for like the royalty, the aristocrats. And,
oh, wow.
And they would watch this little tiny boy with his little tiny violin.
So did he have a piano the size of him? It's like Schroeder from Charlie Brown.
Yeah, it's the little tiny instruments. Yeah. And he did it because people thought he was so cute and adorable. He has kind of like big eyes.
Are there pictures of him as a baby?
I don't think as a baby, but you can see in portraits of him, he has like big blue eyes, and his ears are actually a little deformed. He has something called Mozart's ear. Well, yeah.
Wow, it's like they knew he was gonna have
it. Was this. Named after him. His ears.
This looks like a grandpa.
Yeah. Well, Mozart also had, you know, as he's growing up, playing these little pieces and compositions he has written, his hair kind of starts like thinning out and
he's stressed.
He becomes really insecure about it. It was something he was so fussy about.
His hair?
His hair.
Well, good thing they had wigs back in the day. So you know what? It's all good, bro.
And that's what he thought. He could put like a wig on when he would perform. So he'd get like a little tiny wig. And his family made a living off of Mozart playing for these families and these big shows. And like his dad gave up his whole career to focus solely on managing Mozart and his musical career. But things take a turn when you're no longer cute.
No, no.
So by the time he's like 16, 17.
He's ugly now.
No one really cares about Mozart.
It's like now you're at the age where like playing piano is normal versus, oh my God, you're like this protege.
Yeah. And so that's kind of like where it like hits a little snag in his life. His dad and him, you know, they constantly go back and forth because people that were around them have been too, they have described the interactions between Mozart and his dad as his dad being very controlling in that kind of sense. It reminds me about
he's like, a manager, not a dad at that point.
Yeah. And it's sad because it does kind of drive a wedge in, you know, in the relationship. Mozart does not give up composing music. He sleeps, eats. What's the third one?
Breathes.
Compositions. He just kind of tries to go out there and find opportunities. I'm so about that. He absolutely would write letters to people if he caught wind. Maybe somebody was going to die soon or retire.
I'll play at your funeral.
And he'll say, like, you know what? You can pay me this much to, you know, play for you. And
he's trying to book gigs.
Yeah, he's trying to make money. And not only that, he has extravagant taste. He is all about the clothes.
Oh, so he has a champagne taste on a beer budget.
Oh, yes. He loves fashion. Loves it. He's always caught wearing the newest trends.
Trying to think of the fashion back then with their white tights, their bloomers, their black buckle shoes.
Shiny gold.
Shiny baby blue.
Puffy shoulders.
Frilly stuff, you know?
It's heels.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the time of heels. Mozart hilarious. Wore heels.
Yeah, they did. They all wore heels.
I love it. And not only that, he is a romantic. He's sensitive. He's such a sweetheart.
He's a musician.
He winds up meeting his wife through a failed attempt.
He was only 5'4".
Yeah. He's so short.
No wonder he wears heels.
Yeah. He's small.
Oh, my God. Beethoven was only 5'4", too.
Yeah. They're a lot smaller back then. Yeah. He meets his wife through this failed attempt to, like, flirt with her sister.
Okay.
And when that didn't work out, he met Constance. And him and Constance really hit it off. And they are so in love. It is cute. It is so stinking cute, Lainey.
Their love?
Their love is adorable. I mean, let me read you a letter.
Okay.
Between the two.
This cringy ass letter.
Okay. So.
Wait, do you have it?
Yes.
Can I read the letter?
You want to read it?
I want to read it.
Okay, it's that bottom part.
I'm going to be, okay, so, okay. Farewell then, my one and only. Take these as they fly through the air. 2,999 and a half kisses are flying, eager to be snapped up. Now let me tell you something in your ear. Mozart leaves a space. And now you, me, he leaves another space. Now let's open and close our mouths. Another space. Ever more space and more space. At last we say, it's because of plumpy strumpy. Farewell. 1,000 tender kisses from always your Mozart. Plumpy strumpy.
He is so mushy for her.
What is plumpy strumpy? There's not even a space there. Plumpy strumpy is one.
Yeah, is he insinuating like intimacy in those blanks?
So I think they were, let me see again. Okay, I think they were, okay, so now let me tell you something. Your heart leaves a space and now you, me. So I think those spaces are like the intimate things that are being whispered in the ear that they're not going to write. They're too naughty to be spoken aloud or written on the paper.
Do you think she got that when she read it?
Well,
probably.
I would say so if it's plumpy strumpy, you know?
Yeah.
What the fuck does plumpy strumpy mean? So looking at plumpy strumpy. Okay. GitHub.com has something about Plumpy Strumpy. Well, it just says, I'm a fan of Mozart. That's the whole website. It says Plumpy Strumpy, Plumpy Strumpy. I'm a fan of Mozart. Plumpy Strumpies. Our fans are now known as the Plumpy Strumpies. This is hilarious. Plumpy. I bet that was like some kind of code word for cunnilingus or something.
What if it was like their version of bae?
Bae. You, my sweet little plumpy strumpy. What the actual, that is so funny. Plumpy and, Strumpy.
And that's really up his aisle too. So Mozart's kind of a unique character.
Obviously.
So when you would talk to him, he would be soft. He'd be very soft.
Soft-spoken. He's romantic.
Yeah. But he definitely would up the volume and his physical expression the more he got excited about something. I read a story that when he was coming into one of these music halls in Vienna, he saw a student of his practicing the violin, and he comes over and taps her shoulders to the beat, starts kind of singing an aria, and then, you know, sits down in front of her and motions for her to continue. And then he starts humming and coming up with this freestyle composition.
Oh, he's a freestyle man.
And gets so into it that all of a sudden, as they're getting into the high point, dramatic, intense moment, he leaps out of his chair and starts jumping on the tables and, like,
oh wow,
rolling around. And
who said Hamilton was the only the American musical? Now we have Mozart, the Romanian musical.
He also has a bit of a prank side.
Okay, so he's a silly goose.
He is very much a silly goose.
Is there another letter I can read?
So
any more Plumpy Strumpies?
So he, for example, he really liked poop jokes.
Oh my God.
He was very well known for poop jokes. He definitely had a bird.
Well known for poop jokes.
Yeah, he had a pet bird. It winded up dying after
his
few years.
His name was Duty.
Honestly, if he had his way, he probably would do it because he would find it funny. And the bird was just such a delight to him because it would poop on his friends.
Yeah, birds can't control their bowel movements, so yep, that'll do it.
So he could always be found just kind of putting in these, like, small pranks. One time he was at, like, an opera practice, and the opera singer at the time.
A rehearsal?
Yeah, like at the rehearsal, the way she would sing would be, if she was singing low, she would move her head down mm-hmm. to hit those notes. And if she was singing high, she would lift her chin up to hit mm-hmm. those points. And there was no other way that the singer could sing. And so Mozart found that kind of funny.
Cool.
So he specifically wrote a part for her that would cause her head to bob down and up and down and up. And and he would giggle off to the side and be like, she looks like one of those bobbing birds.
Oh my goodness.
So let's move into the last year of Mozart's life. He is 35.
Damn, he only lived to be like 36.
No.
Just 35?
Just 35.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So in Vienna, every year, they hold like this big music concert at the end of the year.
A big symphony.
A big symphony. And so a lot of musicians are commissioned way earlier in the year to come up with operas and plays to perform at that festival.
It's like the OG music festival.
Yeah. It premieres in November. And so they let him know around April. They basically kind of sent him a letter, say, Mozart, we really want you to compose this piece. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those people, Mozart is, that overworks himself.
Workaholic. Did he have any kids?
Yes. So his oldest son, Franz, him and Constance had, like, right away. Constance is also known for being constantly pregnant.
Ooh.
But she sadly suffers a lot of miscarriages. And each one would break, like, their hearts just a little bit more. Because Mozart and Constance, like, always loved being together. Like, wanted a big family. And so after Franz, the four others passed away. But in 1791, Constance is pregnant again with their potentially new son or daughter. So by April, she's like kind of bustling. And Mozart starts working on this commission. Now, the symphony that he starts to come up with is, it becomes the opera that is called The Magic Flute. It winds up being like in the future.
That sounds like a...
I think Midnight Summer.
A wink, wink, The Midnight Flute.
I didn't think of it that way, but yes. And I mean, he was always writing. He carried a notebook in his pocket to just kind of bring out and just doodle, doodle, doodle down. So by the time of July of 1791, Mozart finished already his opera to be ready to premiere. Yeah. He's ready to bring in more commissions. He's ready to get some other money flow in. Constance is about to be giving birth any moment now. He's just giddy with joy. He has a bit of these mental fluxes. He has like very, very highs and very lows.
So you're saying he was probably bipolar, probably?
I've read a lot of medical documents that people have discussed.
Maybe possible bipolar?
Yeah. Possible even Tourette's syndromes.
Oh, interesting.
And they only say that because he was known to be very vulgar.
Oh, maybe he couldn't control how vulgar he was.
That's what they kind of were hinting at.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, he really liked poop jokes and he had a tendency to just kind of make inappropriate jokes.
Well, he could be like autistic, too.
Yeah. And it goes into all of these areas because of just who Mozart was. I mean, definitely there have been, you know, articles and research that has talked about personal accounts of Mozart. And he's always known as being a fun, kind of upbeat person who looked like he was always in thought. Mm-hmm. Like always just really thinking about things. So when July comes, he's at his house, just kind of waiting. Constance goes on spa trips a lot.
Okay.
She's a spas lady.
I want to know what the spas looked like in the late 1700s. Just a bathhouse.
I mean, she goes often and I don't know if he has like a codependency on her or not, but he definitely like his mentality dives when they're separated. So he's kind of depressed not being together. His servant comes in and lets him know that there is a masked stranger at the door.
Okay. And where is he at this point?
He is living in Vienna and he is just like, what do you mean a masked stranger?
So they're just like, hey, just want to let you know there's a man outside. He's wearing a mask.
Yep.
Do with that information.
Yeah.
Which you will.
Because I think it's just as a suspicious, and they probably were like, we might get in trouble for not letting him know, but this is weird. Because the guy's dressed up like Dracula a little bit, too.
Oh, my God. It's a Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. So the Phantom from the Opera.
He's there.
He's at your door.
Okay.
Mozart gets out of his bed, change out of his nightgown, puts on some fancy clothes. It takes him about 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Takes you probably like half an hour, all those buttons.
He comes downstairs, and when he comes to the door, there's no figure. And he's like, okay.
It is the Phantom.
As he's turning around to come back in his house, he hears, wait a moment. Mm. Mozart turns back around, looks around, doesn't see anybody. Hears, excuse me, sir, I am to your left.
Excuse me, sir, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart?
Mozart looks to his left and sees kind of like in this little shadowy corner is this masked man.
What the fuck?
And he's standing there with his hands together.
He's like, I am the Phantom of the Opera.
He goes, hello, Mozart. It is so good to actually meet you. Mozart is just sitting there without his wig, like, oh.
Without his wig.
He's like,
what? He's like, don't look at me.
He's like,
I'm not proper.
He's like, oh my, I thought you were wearing the mask that covers your eyes. He's like, how can I help you?
Yes, alopecia.
So Mozart, when he looks at this man, he's wearing dark, dark clothes. The mask covers covers from his forehead to under his nose. So okay. You really can't tell his figure. You can't tell the shape of his body by the clothes he's wearing.
He's wearing a freaking cloak. How could you?
And this man explains to him that he has been commissioned by his boss to approach Mozart with a proposition for him to commission a song.
Okay. He didn't have to do that in a fucking mask and a cloak.
Well, apparently he did.
Okay, that was in the contract.
So Mozart said he loved to do it anyways. And as we're discussing it, the masked man lets him know two rules. One.
You have to take off the mask.
The identity of the buyer shall never be discussed.
Okay.
Two. When the composition is finished, Mozart will give up all rights to it. And the ownership of it will go to the buyer. Mozart agrees.
Okay.
So when the masked stranger is explaining what he wants the piece to be for his boss, he says that his wife has died. The boss's wife has died.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? She was pregnant.
That he wants a song to play every year on the anniversary of her death.
Okay, so it's kind of like Sally's song from Nightmare Before Christmas. It's like her own theme that yes. plays on her death. Okay.
Yes. And when they were kind of trying to negotiate the price, Mozart basically placed his monetary value too low. So the guy was like, no, no, no. My boss wants to pay you a lot more. So let me send you more money. Mozart realizing, oh, I have to do like another art commission and another piece commission. Let me work on it when I come back from Prague. It's probably going to be at the end of September.
So he's just like in the alleyway talking to this masked figure that's like lurking in the shadows.
Yes. Yes. And as they're leaving the conversation, the masked stranger lets Mozart know, I'll contact you. Don't contact me. I'll find you.
Okay.
So Mozart starts working on this next piece. He has been commissioned by a high like bishop in a church over in Prague to do some church arias. Mozart loved church music.
That makes one of us.
Like a lot. But he didn't like authority. He definitely got into arguments and would call them ninnies and stuff if he felt like they were just kind of being obnoxious with their power. Constance winds up giving birth to their newborn.
Yay, it survived.
It does, in August. And so...
what was his name, Wolfgang Jr.?
Xavier.
Interesting.
Yeah, so when Mozart set off to the festivities for this premiere of this new composition, Constance went with him and his apprentice and left the newborn baby and their other kid at home.
Alone?
Alone.
Wait, what? Okay, wait.
I'm pretty sure family members came. And,
okay,
yeah. I was like, I don't think they left them alone, but they definitely did leave them.
All right, you're old enough. You're now the man of the house.
So after this trip to Prague and on their way back, it's like the beginning of September and Mozart can't stop thinking about that song request. He's just... like, he gets obsessed. He gets obsessive.
Literally, if someone tracked me down and lurked in the shadows and wanted me to do something for them, I don't think I would ever stop thinking about that exchange.
He can't not write about this piece, which is to be called Requiem.
Okay. I feel like I've heard that before.
You probably have. It's a very distinctive piece.
So he finishes it.
Well, so kind of. As he's working on it, you can tell that he's overdone his workload. And he wakes up at like the crack of 6 a.m. and will write till his fingers hurt so much. He's like writing in his letters, I can't compose anymore. My fingers hurt. And so in September, and kind of towards like the end of September, beginning of October in 1791, Mozart has kind of done like a small premiere of his magic flute play to kind of see if it gets well receptions. And not only that, he takes his rival in the industries, Antonio, to come check it out as a na 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 boo boo.
Look, I already don't like Antonio.
Look at what I can do. And
you where's know, your magic flute?
And Antonio actually watched the show with his son and found it really charming.
Okay.
And as he's watching this, he just thinks to himself, damn, Mozart's good. Mozart, he can't enjoy this moment, though, because in the back of his head, he just has, like, this idea that, like, he's going to die soon.
Okay.
He winds up talking to his wife when they're on the way back from this premiere, and he just says to Constance, I haven't been feeling myself lately. I think I've been poisoned. Constance reassures him, kind of pats him, gives him a hug and a kiss on the cheek, and says, honey... you always think you're dying.
Honey, a bit of a hypochondriac.
Really, though, the slightest ache, Mozart definitely would like flail over stuff and go, whoa, I have broken my leg. I think I have an infection. I think I have something that is killing me.
King of drama.
Yes. And they just calm him down. Like, it wasn't
Poor guy.
It was totally to be expected that Mozart would be like, my nose is running. My brain is melting. And there was like, no, Mozart, calm down.
The snot is not snot. It is my brain melting from my skull.
But he doesn't like let up on these poisonings accusations. Like, you know, like in the weeks of October, he just kind of like starts telling like close family members, like, no, like, I really think someone's like, I think I'm going to die soon. And, you know, they just keep chalking it up.
Oh, Mozart.
Yeah. Like, oh, silly Mozart. You're just kind of being weird. You know, you always exaggerate everything you do. That's kind of who you are.
He's just eccentric.
As this keeps going, he starts to get more depressed, more isolated, more sad. Constance came in to him sobbing in the bedroom at his writing table, and she's trying to calm him down. She's like, honey, like, Wolfgang, like, what's wrong? Why, like, why the tears? Why are you acting as if someone has passed away in our family? And like, in like sobs, he like breathes out, I think I'm writing Requiem for myself.
Oh my God.
And she's like, honey, what are you talking about? Like, you've been like, what? And he just says like, no, like, Constance. And he holds her hand and looks at her and says, like, I think I'm going to die like soon. So when November comes around that same year, it's not like a crazy downward spiral. It's not anything like that. He winds up premiering the Magic Flute for that main festival in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, wow, awesome. It's like triumphs. And he's like, yes, I did it. I've done it. I've won the gold medal. Time to do it again. But the next day, Mozart finds that he is not feeling himself. He feels odd and just tells the family that he's just gonna kind of stay in bed and just kind of chill out for that day. So now it's 2 days after the, you know, premiere. And Mozart like wakes up, gets ready for the day. He feels like he can go for a walk. He puts on his like daily clothes. He's not able to like put his shoe on one of his foot, like feet.
He's like swollen.
Well, He doesn't like think it is because it doesn't look swollen. So he decides it, fine, I'm not going to wear my heels. Sad day. Keeps walking throughout the house, and Franz comes up to him.
His son?
Yes. And says, Daddy, you're walking kind of funny.
No, no.
And Mozart just tells him like, what? Like, huh? What do you mean, Franz? What do you mean that I'm walking funny? So Franz says, go walk down the hall and walk back and I'll show you just to make sure.
How old is Franz at this point?
Franz is 7.
Okay.
When Mozart does that, his walk is disheveled. There's a bit of like a weird limp. And so the two of them compare his feet and his left one is like slightly bigger. Mm-hmm. And there's like a little bit of like red splotches. Odd. They kind of just ask and just discuss if like Mozart's done anything weird physically. Yeah. Did he like trip on something?
Is he allergic to something? Is it a rash?
But they couldn't think of anything. But it wasn't like immobile. So Mozart just kind of walked on his foot, you know, didn't really care. So now it's like a week after the premiere. Franz goes and wakes up Constance, who had fallen asleep in the living room after a long night of just, you know, housework and I think she was just probably reading or something. He says, Mom, are we going to the park today? Like, you promised that we were going to go play at the park. I'm really excited. And we're going to go take out our new, you know, my new baby brother. She says for him to go get his dad upstairs and tell him to start getting ready so they can go on in the carriage to the park. As Franz is going up the stairs, he kind of hears these moans and they just sound like wet a little bit. Mm. Franz knocks on the door and says, Daddy, are you like, we're ready to go to the park. Like, Mom says you need to go get dressed. Can you like get ready? And no response. It's unusual for that. I mean, that's like the love of his life. These are his families.
Yeah.
Franz comes in and sees a very inhumane sight. Mozart is on top of his sheets. He is sweaty, wet, clammy. But that's not what looks inhumane. His foot is not only larger than it was before, but now it's both of his feet and both of his hands. And it was so swollen and so stretched that it literally looked translucent, as if you were peeking inside of him, Lainey.
Ew.
Franz goes and talks to him like, Daddy, are you okay? Like, what's up with your hands? Like, what's wrong with your feet? Like, what did you do? Did a bee sting you? And he just is saying that he doesn't know. He can't really feel things. Franz goes, gets mommy. Everybody comes up there and they kind of realize, like, this looks bad. Like, he can't, like, bend his fingers. I mean, the swelling in his hands and feet really started to look distorted compared to his limbs. His fingers had become so swollen that, like, they were bulby and bulbous in shape. And, like, now, in, like, the next day comes and his physicians comes in, the swelling has come up to his calves. And his calves are way bigger than his thighs. They're almost, the width of his waist. And, I mean, it is, like, it's like someone put like a hose inside his foot and started filling it with water and giving it that stretched out look. When it, you know, when his doctors look at him, they just kind of feel that, you know, Mozart is probably sick with like a fever. They don't really have an idea of modern medicine. So they're just kind of like throwing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, by the 14th day of his illness, that his swelling had worsened to the extent that his entire body became a Pillsbury Doughboy.
Like the Michelin Man. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
He could not turn over. He could not move. And he would just weep. He just weep because he was in so much pain and agony. His face was swollen so badly. Friends and family would come in to like spatula flip him because he couldn't move. He couldn't use even like the force. It was just a big puffball. And it was hard for his family to deal with because this person didn't look like their dad anymore, their husband. Yeah. It looked like a really gross version of like a cartoon of him.
Yeah.
Also, he started smelling like a really bad odor came off his body. And not only that, like he would throw up like this ash brown liquid.
Ew.
Yeah. So on December 14th, Mozart kind of got better. He was fine. Like the swelling went down. Everything was fine.
How long?
For like a day.
Okay, a single day.
So he was so well that he actually asked all his friends to come in because he would continuously work on Requiem.
So he was able to still do that?
Yeah, for that one day. He would have his apprentice to kind of like write it down as he sat in bed to like think about it. Everybody told him to stop. And he would argue with them, Requiem is for me.
Oh, man.
It's for myself. They start singing the Lacrimosa part as they sit around a bed-stricken Mozart as he plays the piano off to his side. And when that part came up with everyone singing, Mozart's eyes started welling up and his mouth curved and he just started sobbing.
Oh my God. Because he knows.
The next day, December 5th, he has not gone better and actually has taken a really horrible turn down into whatever is happening to him. He re-swells back up, so much so that is the biggest size that he's ever been. So now he's like blimp shape.
Yeah.
When you would touch him, it like his body would gurgle and like that weird like water tank sound would happen. And Constance is sitting there and he's just like, I can't leave you. I don't want to die. I don't want to leave you guys behind. I've left you unprepared. I don't want to go, Constance. I don't want to die. And as he's saying that, he like projectiles vomits.
Oh my God.
Ash brown, acidic, burning out of his throat and collapses. Just an hour afterwards, Mozart dies.
Jeez.
Everybody is just like, what the fuck
just happened?
Yes. And not only that, the body smelled horrible. after his passing. Like, so bad that they were not able to actually try to, like, open up his body or see what was going on. And not only that, his body limbs didn't go into rigor mortis.
Really?
Yes. So when they were trying to examine his body before determining they couldn't, he could still bend his arms. You could bend his arms and, like, his fingers if you wanted to, and legs, which made them come to an idea that maybe he could have been poisoned or something. Apparently that's – is that really a thing? Like
– what?
Like, if you're – if you've been poisoned, like
– I – different poisons do different things.
Okay.
So I don't know. It could. The whole, like, swelling doesn't seem direct to me with the whole poisoning thing. So I don't know.
They wind up burying Mozart in just kind of not like a commoner's grave, but just like a grave.
Yeah.
But man, the theories that come out of this, everybody comes obsessed with what killed Mozart.
Well, yeah, because it's like he was just fine 1 second ago, and then all of a sudden he's a fucking Pillsbury doughboy.
Oh, yeah. And it was very, very sudden. So let's talk about the theories, okay? So many theories. I mean, crazy. It ranges from, like, murder to disease to poisoning. So let's...
Well, I don't know if I would say that it was poison just because it was, like, a long time from when he said he was poisoned.
Yes. So, Lainey, you are on the right train track, because a lot of the other people who have done their own theories about this have concluded the same kind of thinking as you did. They felt like there wasn't really a poison that could have given those specific symptoms, nor probably were there any opportunities to do it. So one of them was that he possibly could have been murdered.
But by who?
So here's their suspect for this. His name is Franz Hoftemel, and they believe he had motive because they think that maybe Mozart slept with his wife. And the reason for that being is because about a day after Mozart's funeral, a fight broke out between Franz and his wife, where he, like, hacks her in the face.
Mozart hits her?
No, her husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Franz, the husband, you know, like, hacks her and then kills himself. But she survives. And when they ask her kind of what was going on and if it was in relation to Mozart, she just exclaimed that she just was a student of his. But the rumors came from that Mozart would go to her house for private lessons. And he didn't normally do that with his students. They would come to his house.
I see.
So people believe that maybe that could be a reason. Like
Franz. But the other guy died, though.
Yeah, but the other guy killed himself.
So who would have killed Mozart then if the other guy literally died and killed himself?
Yeah. Well, that was like a day after the funeral.
Oh, after Mozart's funeral? Yeah. Oh, the guy died, killed himself after Mozart already died.
The other theory that he could have been murdered by is that Antonio guy, his little rival.
Okay.
So a lot of people just kind of clumped the idea that maybe Mozart and Antonio were, like, rivals in everything that they do, even though that really wasn't the case. Like, they didn't, like, purposely try to outdo each other. They were just,
like, friendly competition.
Yeah, they're just in the same field.
Frenemies.
I mean, even this, like, dummy report goes around from Berlin that Antonio actually is the reason why Mozart passed away, even though it's not true. It's like a gossip magazine.
Yeah.
So people do start to believe it. Antonio winds up having a mental breakdown in 1823, where he constantly questions himself, did I kill Mozart?
Oh, poor thing.
And it gets so bad to the point where he tries to kill himself.
Oh my God.
Over it. And when they detain him and take him to a mental hospital, he confesses that he did kill Mozart, but they realize that Antonio is suffering from like some kind of dementia and is just can't really understand that he's not, like, he's acting like Mozart just died in 1823 when really he died 1791.
Oh shit. So it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. So they just kind of chalked it up. You're just an old man. Going crazy.
Yeah.
the other theories range from all these types of like illnesses. Okay. So one of them is that people believe that maybe he had kidney failure.
Okay.
Which would explain the swelling and the sweating and the vomiting. Some believe that maybe there was a type of, what's it called? Before it's a pandemic, it's a...
Epidemic?
Epidemic. They think maybe an epidemic was going around, but that's tossed out because if that was the case, then other people in his households would also catch it.
Yeah. If it's something contagious or something like that, someone else would have had to have had it. There's no way.
And see, and another like discord to those poisoning accusations, when you go through these different lists of possible poisons that could have been used during the time, mm-hmm. they don't fit the bill. Because if it was like arsenic, for example, he would also experience like throat burning.
For sure.
Like abdominal pain, you know, hypotension, you know, have trouble breathing. But those were all absent. He was even able to sing a little bit of the aria that was in the Lacrimosa Requiem mm-hmm. song. The piece never gets finished by him. He left specific instructions about a month before his passing to his assistant to finish it. So everybody knows that he died from something, but they don't know what. Oh, yeah. Some researchers have found that during the time in Vienna around 1791 and like 1790, there were more male deaths in the area compared to any other years.
Really?
Yes. But what can only affect males and like a small portion of them and not get like trans, you know, like,
yeah.
And also a lot of people thought that he had like maybe underlying illnesses from a kid, but that doesn't even like add into it because it was so sudden. To this day, there's over 150 theories.
Jesus.
And I mean, physicians, doctors all over the world literally discuss it to this day.
Because so they just like legit have no fucking idea.
No one has any idea on what caused the mysterious death of Mozart. It's crazy, isn't it?
So what do you think?
I think,
You're like, I don't know what I think.
I feel like he must have gotten like maybe like a bacteria or something. You know, there was even an account where someone claimed, no one knows where he's buried. The guy who buried him died and didn't leave any like grid to where he buried people.
Seriously?
Yeah. So
I feel like that's the first thing that you do when you bury someone.
Yeah, but he didn't. So Mozart's marker that's currently standing today isn't actually where he's buried. It's like a dummy spot. Some guy in like the 1970s and 1980s found a skull, which he claimed to be Mozart, depending on the physical descriptions of him.
Uh-huh.
And on the skull, they found, I guess, markings that would indicate that he may have suffered a cerebral hemorrhage.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what they were kind of throwing out there. But they have no way to fully identify that skull being Mozart.
Because you have to have DNA to compare it. So how would they get the original DNA?
If they can't find the body. Yeah. And so, yeah, that is the mysterious death of Mozart.
Dude, I had no idea. I mean, I feel like I say this every episode, but I had no idea.
Right? Like,
and this is interesting. That's all I can say.
I mean, it's a case that literally for hundreds of years, people just can't like.
They can't crack it open.
They can't. And they just are obsessed with it. I mean, people had meetings and like try to do their own investigations over this course. And I mean, like, high-end doctors are like trying to sit there, but it's just hard because.
So just for something to all of a sudden just make you swollen
mm-hmm.
at 35. I'm trying to think, because if it was anything big ticket name like TB or syphilis or mercury poisoning or anything like that was fairly common back in the day, mm-hmm. it would be a very obvious.
Yeah.
It would be obvious, right?
It'd be very, very obvious.
Those are signs of mercury poisoning or signs of syphilis or and whatnot and so forth. So for the fact that they have this information, because it seems like it was documented, like that it happened. So they have all the documentation. They're like, well, we still don't know.
It's weird. And
it's just like severe bloating, like just
like unhuman like bloating. Like you're becoming a blimp.
You're becoming your skin is being stretched so much you're becoming translucent. Like a balloon.
Yeah.
Well, that's some horrid history for you. At first I was like, Mozart, how ucky can that story get?
And you're like, wait. You're
like, wait a minute. He's projectile vomiting brown ash
liquids. Yeah. Well, if you're still listening to this and you haven't thrown up,
then I'm sorry.
Go check our Instagram at Horrid History. You'll see pictures from today's show.
We don't have a picture of bloated Mozart.
Sorry, I'm not going to put a bloated Mozart up there. Respect, man, respect. If you liked this episode and you also want to tell others how Mozart's had a mysterious death, share this episode with your loved ones, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.